Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's here, your blood was spilled for my ransom. And everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. My sin and death. Now you're risen, and everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to your home. Your home.
Good evening, Lighthouse Baptist Church. Welcome to this beautiful Wednesday night service. Would you please stand and sing with us? He will hold me fast.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my sake, loves me so, he will hold me fast. Those he saves are his delight, Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. Let my soul be lost, his promises shall last. But by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast.
good singing. Passage of Scripture tonight comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 91, verses 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Will you continue singing with us tonight? Great is thy faithfulness. Singing church.
Man, let's give the Lord
standing.
A hand for His faithfulness. Amen. Praise God. I want to welcome you tonight to Lighthouse Baptist Church. What a joy it is to gather together. Wasn't it a beautiful day to get a little bit warmer weather? And man, when it's in its 40s and it feels like springtime, that's, you know, you're in the middle of winter. Amen. But we're glad to have you. And you know, we only got about 2 inches of snow. I had some buddies at a preacher's meeting a couple days ago yesterday, and they got like 13 and a half inches up in Canton, they said. And so, good thing we didn't get buried in that. But who likes that 13 inches of snow? Some of y'all sinful people out there like that, don't you? Yeah, my wife's one of them. She's like, bring the snow, man, bring the snow. But we're glad to have you. If you're a guest or visitor, thank you for being with us. Any first-time guests or visitors, I met a couple of dear ladies that got to meet over here at the Senior Center with us tonight. Good to have you. And let's give our folks a hand that are visiting with us tonight. Great to have you. And we had a great seniors event over there. Got a connect to some dear folks, and had a good time. We were able to sponsor that night. And so let's open in a word of prayer. I'm going to have Brother Roberto. He's going to come ahead and open us in a word of prayer tonight. Thank you so much, Brother Roberto.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we give thanks to you for the opportunity to be able to gather together in your house, to be able to share in the fellowship of the Word, to be able to minister the gospel. Lord, I just pray that you would be with all of the workers tonight, Lord. Help their labors to be a sweet savor to you, Lord, as we minister the gospel to the young children, to the teens, and as a pastor preaches the word here in the sanctuary tonight. Lord, I just pray that every single thing that is said and that is done would be honoring and glorifying to you, Lord. I pray that your word would go out. I pray that it would penetrate hearts, that it would land in good soil, that it would perhaps help some lost person to understand their need for a Savior, that it would edify the believers, Lord, that it would draw us all closer to you, that you would be honored and glorified through it all. For it's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated tonight, and if you have a prayer request, we have some guys that are coming around right now with a green prayer card, and just raise your hand if you have a prayer request, and they'll get one of those green prayer cards to you, and you can fill that out. At the end of service, they'll come around and gather those up, and we will share those prayer requests so that we can make sure we pray for them. If you have a private prayer request, just write the word private at the top, and we'll make sure we don't announce that out loud, but we'll pray for that request as well. And so, also, if you're viewing online, I want to thank you for joining us. Now, we got some folks that are out sick, and so if you're joining us online, thank you so much. You can also send in a request in the chat section there as well. So, we have a video at this time. We're going to show a missions video for Brother Walt Stevens. He's going to be with us here in a couple weeks. We got our missions conference coming up the last Sunday of the month. We're super excited. We got, I think, 6 different missionaries that are going to be with us between Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. And some of these guys are doing some incredible works all over the world preaching the gospel. And it's a joy to be able to hear them. It'll encourage you, fire you up. And I believe God can really work in our church in a mighty way through that conference. And so if we got that video, we'll go ahead and play it at this time.
Hello, Lighthouse Baptist Church in Xenia, Ohio. I'm Pastor Bevan. This is missionary evangelist Walter Stevens and my precious wife, Simone. We're making this video at Brother Tom's request to help promote the upcoming missions conference. I'm so excited and so thrilled that I've been invited to be the keynote speaker and to introduce Faith Promise there at your church. I've been in ministry working with the Gypsy people since 1990. My precious wife, Simone, and I have only been married just a little bit over 2 years. My late wife, Dolly, went home to be with Jesus in 2017. And God has put us together and we've been serving the Lord together. Simone has a gospel singing ministry. And we work in the Gypsy ministries, of course, here. And then also we have prison ministries. I apologize that my precious wife, Simone, won't be able to attend with me. She runs a family business here in Melbourne, Florida. Someday we hope that we can bring her to visit you all. But I just want to encourage you and challenge you to be involved in the missions conference and to be praying for it right now. I believe that these are difficult days. I know that. But I also believe that they're days of opportunity. People are wondering what's going on in the world. And Christ is the answer. And I know you know that. And missions is the vehicle that God has chosen to spread the gospel locally, domestically, and around the world simultaneously, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, how do we do that? Well, the missions participants falls into 2 categories. They are senders and goers. Now, we're all supposed to go, but in the missions area, there are those who send those to represent them on the foreign field. That's done through your missions conference, your missions program, and Faith Promise missions giving. And senders can't send unless there's goers, and goers can't go unless there's senders. It's a team effort. And so I'm looking forward to presenting from God's word how God has outlined the plan, Simone, for us to reach the world with the gospel. And we do that in Kissimmee, don't we, Simone? And Simone works with the Gypsy children there. It's very exciting. And God has just been using our ministries for his glory and honor. I hope and I pray, and I began praying ever since the pastor invited me, but I hope and I pray that I can be a blessing and a challenge to you all in reaching your community and the world with the gospel. I want to leave you with my life's verse. It comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and specifically verses 2 through 4, but it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. And I know, Simone, sometimes we can be weary and faint in our minds, but it doesn't change the Great Commission. I sign every letter with this phrase, because Jesus deserves the reward of his suffering. That's what Missions Conference is about. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. We're going to lift up Christ, and I'm looking forward to meeting you all. God bless you. See you at the end of this month. Bye-bye.
Forward to having Brother Walt Stevens, and he's going to be a blessing to you. He's a powerful preacher, been preaching missions conferences for decades, and has a great passion for that, and so excited for that. James 3, if you would stand with me in your Bibles to James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3, again, we're in a third message on the danger of the tongue. And since none of us have ever said anything we wish we did not say, we probably don't even need to preach on the tongue. But we'll do that in case somebody online is watching, right? Obviously, none of us ever struggle with our mouths. And all of us laugh because we know that's not the case. Amen. Anybody get in trouble with your mouth in the last 24 hours? Amen. I see everybody pointing at the person next to them. They're like, they did, Josh. So James chapter number 3. My wife's pointing up on the stage. I don't know why she did that, you know. So James chapter number 3. Let's look at verse number 6 down to verse number 12. The Bible says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt, water, and fresh. Father, we do thank you for your word tonight. We pray that it would carve our mouth into what you want them to be. God, I pray that you would teach us to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I pray that the words of our mouth and the thoughts of our hearts would be acceptable in your eyes. I pray that we would use our mouth for the glory of God and not for the destruction of the man and how they can be so vile sometimes. I pray that our mouths would be honoring to you. Mold us and fashion us into your image. We ask it for your glory. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, man, you may be seated. Well, there was a story of a frog that wanted to cross a lake, but the frog could not make the journey by boat or swimming, so the frog decided to ask a couple birds to fly him over. By picking up a twig between the feet of the birds, he said, I will hold on to the twig with my mouth as we fly over, and you guys can drop me off. And the birds agreed to the brilliant plan of the wise frog. And as they ascended very high over the ground, and as they're flying hundreds of feet up, a man in the vicinity saw this great feat happening with the two birds and a frog with its mouth clamped upon that twig and going through the air. And the man asked, wow, whose idea was that? And the frog said, I. And the frog's name was Kenny. No, our mouths can get us in trouble, amen? And that day, that frog realized that, according to that humorous story. But the past two Wednesdays, we've studied James chapter number 3, and we've looked at the danger of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The tongue is such a powerful thing. It's much more powerful than I think than we often realize. I remember growing up, and they would say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will what? Never hurt me. And then you get older in life, you realize that's not a true statement. Sticks and stones break our bones, but words can hurt us worse sometimes. The tongue is a powerful thing. It can do a lot of good and it can do a lot of destruction. There are six pictures of the tongue in James chapter number 3 that are given to us. James chapter 3, verse 1 through 12, speak about the tongue as a horse's bit or a rudder of a ship. The Bible compares it here to a fire and a poisonous animal, and then as a fountain and a fig tree. And these six pictures can be put into three classes. The bit and rudder talk about the tongue's ability to direct us, the fire and animal power to destroy us, and the fountain and fig tree lets us know that the tongue has power to delight. And we're going to look at that third truth tonight, that the tongue has power to delight. But we saw, first of all, that the tongue is like a bit of a horse and a rudder of a ship, and it has power to direct. And you notice that both a bit and a rudder are small, but they have the ability to turn the entire vessel. So it is with our tongue and our lives. Our life often ends up where our tongue leads us. Secondly, the tongue has power to destroy. We saw that last time in verse 5 through 8. The tongue is compared not to water, but to fire. Water cannot duplicate itself, but fire can. Fire can spread. Water, you don't throw a cup of water on something and it turns into a flood, but you throw a cup filled with fire and embers, and it can catch on fire a whole forest and take it down. So the Bible talks about our tongues because fire has a great capacity to destroy. And it uses really the strongest statement in the Bible in verse 6 toward the tongue. It says, the tongue is a fire, literally a cosmos of iniquity, a world of iniquity. And he says, so is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body, literally the whole system of our life. It touches everything in our life, our mouth does. And it setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of the only other time the word is used outside of the Gospels where Jesus uses the word Gehenna. He says it is set on fire of hell, this place of torment, this place of eternal judgment of God, this hellish place is what sets our mouth on fire. God is revealing to us the great danger of our tongue, and we need to realize that tonight, that it can be used for great good but great evil. I think about Peter being such the prime example when Jesus says, "Who do men say that I am?" And the disciples all get it. Said, you know, they say, some say Elias, some say John the Baptist or one of the prophets, but he said, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And out of his mouth came the very words that were inspired by the Father. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father. But then just a handful of verses later, merely four or five verses later, that same mouth is rebuking the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And so his Father in heaven spoke through his mouth, and then his old father, the devil, then spoke through his mouth. And it's so fast. Just know this, you could be used by God in an incredible way. Your mouth could be used. Within minutes, you could be used by Satan. I think it's important for us to keep ourselves humble in realizing that. You know, God's really working in my life, and well, he may be working in your life, but if you don't stay humble, Satan can get a hold of your life like this, right? And so I think it's always important to remember that, well, God used me. You know, I did something for God, and you've seen God using your life, and that can be extremely true. But you have to realize that sometimes when we think we're something, when we're nothing, we can deceive ourselves. So then we get down to the power of the tongue to delight. Verse 9 says this, therewith bless we God, even the Father. We bless God. What does bless mean? The word bless comes from the Greek word eulogia. It's from where we get the word eulogy. It's a 15th century medieval Latin word from the 15th century medieval Latin word eulogium, which means high praise or great praise. A eulogy is a tribute that somebody gives, usually at a funeral where, funerals are not designed to where you point out the faults of the person. Let me tell you what this guy did rotten. You know, you don't usually go down that list. Now, I've, having done 120 to 30 funerals or so, I've had some people sometimes that didn't live a real moral life. I mean, they've lived some rough, rough lives. And sometimes I sit down and say, hey, could you reflect on the person? They're like, we're not quite sure how much we can say legally. We're not quite sure how much we can say in a church's building, you know, I mean, there's sometimes it's you know, just trying to wade through the waters of all the brokenness and all the bad stuff that can go along. But a eulogy is elevating the good things, the elevating the right things, and I think that's a way to respect and honor the person's life. But what does it mean we bless God? Verse 1 says, therewith bless we God. Therewith, literally, we eulogize God. What does that mean? Well, we can have high praise and great praise to God is what that's talking about. Our tongue has the ability, again, it's very powerful, and it has the ability to give high and great praise to God. Listen to Psalms 35, 28. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise. What's he say, church? All the day long. Isn't that good? All the day long. Psalm 71, 24, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. Psalm 108, 1, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. What a joy it is to be able to speak of God's goodness, isn't it? To tell somebody, you know, God has been good to me. I'm able to praise His name and thank Him for what He's done. David was one who publicly proclaimed the goodness of God and worshiped God publicly. I think about 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. It says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Our mouth is the most influential part of our body. It is the most influential thing that we have. And we need to use it. Sometimes people say, you know what, you need to share your testimony with your actions and not just with your words. And I agree with that. Our actions need to validate that our faith is real. But don't make that a substitute for keeping your mouth silent about Jesus. Amen. We need to make sure we tell them. How shall they hear without somebody who shows them? Is that what it says in Romans 10? It says, how shall they hear without a preacher? How will they hear if somebody doesn't tell them? Just know this, not every situation is the prime opportunity to share the gospel. I understand that. Sometimes it's like, you know what, I can just, you know, we're at work or you're going through some situation where it's just not the prime time. But in those seasons, we always need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We need to live out our faith. But we need to make sure we tell them about Christ, because no one ever gets saved without hearing the gospel. They must know the truth. They have to know the truth. And that's what our mouth gets the opportunity to do. And so with our mouth, we can proclaim salvation. We can proclaim mercy and grace and love and His word and His glory. We can preach and teach, and it's just a wonderful thing. Let me ask, what have you done in your life to publicly praise God? Has God been publicized by the greatest tool that He's given you and me, which is our mouth? The most powerful, influential tool we have, and have you done that? I so appreciate the testimonies over the years of people coming and sharing how they came to Christ and what God's done in their life, and it's such a wonderful thing to hear that. Are there things that we should bite our tongue over? Is there any time we should bite our tongue and say, you know what, I'm not going to say that? What do you think? Yeah, yeah. Every time you disagree with your wife, just bite your tongue, right? Just keep that bit. Amen. Amen. No, but there's things that we need to bite our tongue over. Is there ever a time we should bite our tongue about God? Say, yeah, I better not talk about Jesus. I talked a little bit about it Sunday, but they have outlawed in Canada conversion therapy, which is basically saying if anybody's in the LGBTQ community, you cannot try to convert them out of that to what they refer to as a myth of our faith, of our Christian faith. That you can't do that. So basically, that's an assault on the Great Commission. You know what our commission is? To go convert sinners to salvation. Raise your hand if you were a sinner before you got saved. Raise your hand. Okay. Somebody converted you. Some of y'all needed converted, which is all of us, right? Amen. But I mean, some of you need, I mean, it was really, no. I ain't looking at you, Anthony. I ain't looking right over there at you, all right? Kristen's not pointing. No, I'm teasing. Kind of. But we see that we all need to be converted before we're saved. And you know the only way we got converted? Somebody said, hey, you've sinned. None of us felt good before we were saved. None of us were like, you know what, I feel really good about being a sinner right now and knowing that I'm in judgment before God. Like, that was an uneasy feeling, right? But there was a point where we said, you know what, I need to turn from my sin, called repentance. I want Christ more than my sin. I'm done with this world. There's a point when you came to where Jesus was worth more than anything else. That salvation, that turning from sin, turning to Christ and giving Him your heart. And we must constantly put on Christ. There were some preachers that were taken off YouTube this week because they were declared as having hate speech because they stood up for what we believe in the gospel. And censoring is continuing. It's important to know this, that in 2015, conversion therapy was banned in Cincinnati, Ohio. It was the first city in our 50 states. Cincinnati, Ohio was the first city to ban conversion therapy. But giving it, you're not going to jail for it, but they give you a $200 fine for trying to do conversion therapy if you're I believe you have to be a licensed individual that's trying to do that to a minor. Trying to let them know that, hey, if you're in some kind of a lifestyle, transgender, homosexuality, any type of these things, and you try to convert them out, that you will be fined up to $200. That's already started. That was 7 years ago. It's coming, friends. It's coming. You need to understand that. Like, this world is moving fast, and we have planted our feet where we're going to stand, and it's on this book. We're not moving from this. There is no deterring us. It doesn't matter. The culture doesn't define what the church is going to do. The church is greater than the state. We're not equal to the state. We're not under the state. The church trumps the state. We're not going to be Americans in heaven, but we'll be Christians, amen. And I love America. I'm a USA guy, man. I'm a red, white, and blue through and through, but I love Jesus more than the United States, amen. And that's okay to say, and we need to realize that, and America needs to be saved. This is a lost nation. You know the greatest friend that we can be to our country is to stand up and say such things and to share the truth of the gospel with them, amen. We're the greatest friend to this nation when we tell them the truth. And so we must publicize it. We must make it known. Jesus said, if you confess me before others, I'll confess you before my Father. So we can bless God. Secondly, we can be a blessing to others with our mouth. We can encourage others to bless God. 1 Chronicles 29, we read when David was praising God before the congregation. He was lifting up God before the congregation. And notice what happens in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 20. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God, and all the congregation bless the Lord God of their fathers. Isn't that great? You know, when Aaron and Roger and our song leaders come and they lead us in worship, you know, they're calling us to bless God, worship God, elevate God, sing praise to God. What a blessing. So appreciate them. God has chosen an amazing instrument to influence others for the kingdom. 1 Chronicles 1:21 says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. Preaching, kerugma, which is the noun form of keruso, is the proclamation, the heralding of Christ. How does a lost world view the preaching of the gospel? 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which is saved, which are saved, it is the power of God. The word foolishness there is a moros in the Greek. It's where we get the word moron. They look at what we preach and say, they're a bunch of morons. You're moronic. That's literally what that means. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish moronic. But to us that are saved, it's the power of God. So you have to get to a point where it's like, I don't care what the world thinks of me. No, I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be like, I'm mean-spirited, like some hateful personality. But I'm not going to define, in other words, how I live my life based upon how the world will respond. That's why the prostitution of the church in America today is trying to be a friend of the world. The Bible says if we're a friend of the world, we are an enemy with God. That's adultery of the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we preach the gospel. And again, the greatest way we can be a friend of the world is to be like Jesus Christ, right? And again, doing it in love, not doing it in mean spirit, not doing it in some hateful way, but we do it in truth in grace, and we don't waver. We cannot waver. I must preach strong. I must challenge the people, because do you understand our young people are facing incredible push? How many times have the young people in our generation... See, some of you who grew up in the presuppositions of certain biblical truths, you grew up with those presuppositions. This generation has not. They grew up with the presupposition people get to choose whatever they want to do. That's what they grew up with. So if they don't hear somebody standing strong in the truth, where are they ever going to hear that? Ever. You know, the people that will probably struggle the most with hearing their pastor preach these stronger messages are the younger people. Because they're like, man, you know, I know kids at school that are, you know, I know this kid, you know, I have friends that have this. And listen, I know exactly what that's like. And so, but they need to understand that truth is not built upon a Babylonian culture. It's built upon the Bible. And the greatest way you can love someone is not to avoid the truth or oppose the truth. It's to bring them the truth. And our tongues must carry the cure of man's eternal sin, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our mouth is the tool. Like the ship that carries the cargo of the gospel is the mouth. Like we get to bring that. Proverbs 10 verse 11 says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Isn't that good? You're a well of life. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful verse. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not, what's it say, heard? And how shall they hear except they be sent? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. There's got to be somebody that tells them. And so, not only does our tongue have great power to bless, but it also has great power to be to curse. Verse 9 says, again, going back in James chapter number 3, therewith bless we God, even our Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after what? The similitude of God. We curse, which means we wish evil upon our fellow man. Well, I wish that guy, you know, I just wish that lady would just... That's what he's talking about. That's that curse that we wish that there would be bad things that happen to them. You know, the book of Proverbs says, do not have that kind of evil in your heart, because that will not please God. Genesis 1:26, the Bible says, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. The Bible teaches that a curse against our fellow man is an attack on the image of God upon which that man was created in. They bear the image of God. The mark of God's image is upon them. You say, what if someone curses me? Anybody ever been cursed before? I've been cursed before. I'll probably be cursed again. So you say, what if somebody curses me? Well, Matthew 5:44 tells us. I mean, the very first sermon Jesus ever preached. We'll get to Matthew 5 here in about 2 years. Matthew 5:44. Somebody told me this week, they said, you know, we've been in Matthew for a while. I said, no, we haven't. We have not been long in Matthew. You think this has been long? It ain't been long, brother. I'll show you what's long. You hang out for a few years. Matthew 5:44. But ain't it good to go through the Gospels, to be with Jesus every week? We're going to study Christ's baptism this week. We're going to study Matthew 4 when he faces temptation by Satan. There's going to be some gems that we're going to receive out of that. We're going to look at Matthew 4 when he goes and begins to bring the gospel, and Matthew 5 when he goes and does the Sermon on the Mount. That is so rich. I've been wanting to preach the Sermon on the Mount for years. This is just so much there. I just love it. But what do we do? Well, Matthew 5:44, in the first sermon Jesus preached, he said this, but I say unto you, love your enemies. He says this, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know the first thing he says? What do you do when somebody curses you or does wrong for you? He says, you got to love them. And the first way that's shown is with our what? With our mouth. Take your mouth and bless them. What's the word bless mean? Listen to this. It comes from the Greek word eulogia. It's where we get the word eulogy from. It means high praise. Praise them. Speak well of them, in other words. So when somebody curses you, you need to speak well of them. Well, you're like, well, there's nothing good to say. next time we all think that, we need to stop and say, how much good did Jesus have to say about me? So, bless them. Sometimes you got to work at blessing people. Sometimes it's easy to say, man, they're such a blessing. They're such a blessing. You know, this person, they do this and this. And unbelievers can do that. But listen to me. Listen to me very closely. Only Christians in the history of the world have done this. You hear me? No one else does this. No one else gets cursed and turns around and gives a blessing. You know, this person, they're actually, maybe they just had a bad day. You know, I need to pray for them. They're struggling right now. And, you know, maybe there's some things I didn't do right there. And, you know, they're a good dad, good mom. And somebody brings up, hey, man, you know, what do you think of so-and-so? You know what? I think they're we need to pray for them. but you need to not speak ill of them. Bless them. Secondly, it says, do good to them. Romans 12:20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. So we do good to them. And then it says we need to pray for them. One of the greatest ways to overcome our bitterness towards somebody who wrongs us, some offense, is to pray for that person. Pray for that person. Lift them up in prayer. Take them to the throne. Let me ask this. How often, when given the chance, do you speak well of one who has offended you? How often, when given a chance, do you speak well of one who's offended you? What would cause you to speak well of them? If Jesus asked you to, would you do that? Does Jesus have anything he could say bad about us? Would you want Jesus to point out our faults, to verbally air them to those around us? Would we want that? And do we expect Jesus to forgive us, and so should Jesus expect us to forgive others? I think those are some good questions to examine our heart with. But you don't know what they did to me. I think the Lord could stop us every moment we think that and say, you don't know what you've done to me. Everything's got to be vertical. When you take these things in light of our relationship with God, that's how you work through the horizontal stuff. We need to get our eyes off people and get them on the Lord and say, you know what, my motivation for doing these things is the Lord Jesus Christ. They're the beneficiary of my vertical relationship. And so the danger of a hypocritical mouth, we find this in verse 9 through 10. He says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, therewith curse we men, which are made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. James is the pastor of the church at Jerusalem, was hearing people proclaim the glorious truths and praise to God, and then using the same mouth to curse and proclaim evil against others. His mouth was doing both. How can a mouth be filled with so much inconsistency? How he was seeing people do that. They were praising God and then they were cursing people. We have all probably been exposed to those who proclaim praise to God and then they propagate filth out of their mouth. If we haven't heard it from others, we've heard it from our own mouths. Is that possibly you today? I think it's sometimes a very sad commentary when people will talk one way in church, but then they talk another way when they go to go work around their coworkers. They work on that job site, in that factory, in that place of business. And they just flow out with their mouth a certain way. And the Bible says pure religion is to visit the fatherless and widows and not to be corrupted by the world. But he says this in James chapter 1, verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. It's empty. It's a worthless thing. And so Peter was one who could use his mouth for the glory of God and then turn around and curse. I mean, he was one who said, I will never deny you, Christ. And just a little bit later, he was making curses that he did not even know him. There's an illustration in verse 11 about a fountain that produces nourishment. A fountain is a blessing. I was hiking with my wife down in Tennessee and last year, before I got the little skinny leg up here, and we were hiking way up, and my wife, she's so strong and fast and stuff. You know, we're going up there, and you know, I'm just trying to keep up with her. You know, I'm like, oh, look how beautiful this scene is over here. You know, let's take some pictures, man. Look at these flowers. She's like, oh, okay. You know, I'm like trying to survive. I'm in survival mode. Need oxygen on the mountain. But I remember going up there and, you know, drinking all the water. But then sometimes off a mountain, there'll be a clear spring that comes off. Isn't that good? And you can just put your cup underneath that water, and it's just been purified by the mountain. So you see that mountain man up there, you know. But you get that spring water, and it's just so good. It's so clear. You put it in there. You ever turn the city water on, and you're like, what all is in my cup, man? There's about 400 calories floating in this bad boy. I got my calcium for the year. So I don't know what all else is in there, iron and stuff. So refreshing. Icons. Kind of a massive outburst in certain situations, such as a river, it could turn into a destructive thing. And Johnstown, Pennsylvania, in 1889, there was a flood that killed 2,200 people, destroyed $10 million in property. That's an incredible, destructive, so sad. Proverbs 12:18-21, we've quoted this many times, but it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so water can nourish us. It can be a great blessing. Water can also cleanse us. It can be a blessing there. In the Old Testament, there was a laver that provided physical cleansing for the priest's hands and feet. And the Bible talks about the Word of God as being something that like washes us. John 15:3, Jesus says, now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. It has a cleansing effect. When he's talking to the husband in Ephesians 5:26, he says, talking about loving your wife as Christ loved the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. The word of God has a cleansing effect. Has a cleansing effect. It creates purity in the heart of the one. Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy what? Thy word. And so, verse 12, we see the illustration of the fig tree and the fountain. Verse 12 says, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? James' point is clear. No tree can bring forth fruit inconsistent with its nature. A fig tree and a vine both produce fruit after their own nature, so a man's mouth produces fruit after its own nature. If someone speaks evil, it reveals what their heart is. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? It just doesn't work that way. Something is corrupt. And if a corrupt fountain produces fresh water, it is hypocrisy in the idea of our language. If somebody by chance begins to speak right, that's not who they really are. If that's not naturally how they typically speak, then it's just a show. And so what's the solution here? How do we allow our tongue to be in control by God? How do we get this dangerous vessel? And we're kind of bringing these sermons to a conclusion here. But we need to, first of all, fix the source. A fountain is clean when it comes from the right source. A tree bears good fruit if it's rooted in a good source. Our words are delightful and powerful to the kingdom if they're rooted in a good source. And the Bible teaches that the tongue literally paints the picture of what's on the inside of a person. What you say tells people what you have in your heart. Matthew 15:19, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. Before I was saved, I had a filthy mouth, and you want to know why? My heart was filthy. Anybody had a filthy heart before? What came out of your mouth? It was filthy, wasn't it? I mean, you weren't like, you know what? The sunset is so beautiful. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to think high and lofty thoughts. I mean, you were not speaking holy, pure, righteous things. We were filthy in mouth because we were filthy in heart. That's why James chapter 3, verse 2 says, if you can't control your words not to offend people, if you can control your words to not offend people, then you control your whole body, because the mouth is the most difficult thing. And experience comes through training. We've talked about that, that if the mouth is like a bit in the horse's mouth, and it takes a skilled rider that can learn how to move that horse, that great powerful animal, where he needs to go, such a captain with a rudder. He takes that ship where he wants it to go. And so we have to learn to train our mouth. One of the greatest ways to train our mouth is to learn to turn it off. Anybody ever have a water leak in your house? Water leaks can cause a lot of damage. And our mouth can leak sometimes. We just need to learn to turn the faucet off. Learn to shut that thing off. We must train our tongue according to what it should say. What goes in will come out. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says, let's all read this verse together. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And so to control the tongue, you have to control what empowers the tongue. That's the heart. God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Notice, it's not going to depart from your mouth. God wanted Joshua to be talking about this all the time, meditating on it all the time. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. I love the book of Solomon, Proverbs that Solomon writes to his son. I wish he would have lived out everything that he always told his son, but Proverbs 2:10, he says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, Proverbs 3:1, my son, forget not my law, let thine heart keep my commandments. Proverbs 3:3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Proverbs 4:4, he says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. He's telling his son in Proverbs 4:4 that Solomon's like, my father and your grandfather David taught me also, and now I'm teaching you. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my saying, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother, bind them continually upon thine heart, tie them about thy neck. It's the idea that if you keep them and you bind them, you have them about you, that they'll be with you, they'll be feeding you and prospering you. And in Proverbs 6, verse 20, do we have that verse? Maybe we could throw up Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20, if you have your Bibles there. It says this, verse 22, if you keep your father's commandments, who's teaching in the way of the Lord, if you bind them continually upon your heart, you tie them about your neck. Verse 22 says this, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and the reproof of instruction are the way of life. What happens is, he's saying, if you take my word in, when I have passed on, I will have passed on my words to you, and my words will outlive my life. There are going to be things that outlive you, mom and dad. So you want things to outlive you that will guide your children, guide their heart. That when they're like, man, what would mom or dad do? What would they do in this situation? That you would have led them with your words, and they would follow that path. It would be their guide. It would be their instruction. It would be their wisdom. It would be their light. But we have to invest in our families. We have to invest. And that's why this Sunday night we're going to be doing the training for the D groups. And I can't encourage you enough. I can't encourage you enough. Mom, Dad, every person at Lighthouse should be involved in these D groups. Our desire is that every single person who considers Lighthouse their church home, if you're a part of Lighthouse, that you need to be involved. You say, what's it entail? Well, it entails you growing in consistency with the Word of God and bringing that into your life, into your home. It consists in doing everything that you wish you would have done when you get to the end of every year. It puts into your home everything that you say, boy, I wish I would have read more this year. We'll get in a D group. Wish I would have spent more time investing in my kids and the spiritual things, get into a D group. Everything that you wish you would have done by the end of the year is what these will help produce. And guess what? Anything, listen to me very closely, anything in life that's worth anything takes work. Nothing comes cheap that's of any value. That's why the Bible always likens studying the Word of God like mining out stuff in the earth. seek for them like hid treasures. Well, where's a treasure at? It's in the earth. How do you get it? You have to mine it out. Is that easy? No. No. Watch them people that are in those gold digger shows and all that stuff, and they're mining that stuff out. They're getting all excited, and they're like, ah, we found some gold. And you know, if you're not seasoned in watching that, you're like thinking, hey, they're going to, you know, they got some big pieces. Nah, they got little flakes. You're like, that's a little flake. Good grief. But they work hard for that. And the idea is that, you know what, it takes work to mine out the Word of God. You know, we've just turned into a lazy Christian culture. We want everything to be microwavable. It's nice to be able to warm something up in 3 minutes. And even that can be long. You mean it takes 3 minutes? My dinner ready. So control what goes in. My wife's thinking this, you don't eat anything like that. And she's right, she spoils me. Isn't it good to be spoiled by a good wife? Amen. Happy, happy and fat over here for me. With a skinny leg. But, amen. Come on, gain that weight, little leg over here. Little leg of mine. But okay, I'm getting too silly. But learn to listen. I think one of the keys also in this is learn to listen and not speak so much. I talked about this a couple weeks ago, but we need to say it like every week. Learn to be a good listener. Listen to me very close. If you have people that you always bring your problems to, learn to ask them how they're doing too. When's the last time you asked somebody how their day's going? Is a good way to ask it. When's the last time you said, you know what, how's your day going? How's your life going? How's your health? How's your family? How's your friends? So make sure that you're asking other people. I've been so encouraged when I see youth do that. I always stop and I'm just like, that's so awesome. When I was a youth pastor dealing with hundreds of kids and over those years, and even here, when there's teens that'll sometimes, hey, pastor, how's your foot doing? I'm like, I don't need it for me, but I'm so thankful for them. I'm like, I appreciate that personally so much, but I'm so glad to see that they're thinking about somebody else. That's one of the first signs of growing up, when you start thinking about somebody else. When you stop and think, you know, how would my mom and dad view this? You know how many teens never think about that until they become a parent? There's some people who never think about that. Like, how does this affect my mom? How would my dad view this, how my behavior is? Let me think about it from their point of view. If that's never thought of, that's like the most selfish lifestyle. And I'm so thankful for so many of the young people in our church that are doing the right thing. We have a young man, he got saved. I was talking to him, been counseling with him, and it's just so encouraging because he's like every week, like doing dishes for his parents and doing some different things, like to be a servant to them. And I'm just like, that's so good, man. So good. I'm so proud, so thankful. Also learn to pray about what you say. I think Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Also, every day, focus on using. Just think about it like this as we close down. Our mouth is so powerful, and it can be used for dynamic good. I mean, on the day of Pentecost, Peter just got up and preached, right? God chose the foolishness of kerugma, the message, keruso, heralding the message. He chose that method, so you and I can do that. So we can say every day, I can carry. Paul said it this way in Romans 1:16. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the dunamis of God. It is literally the dynamite of God. We translate it as the power of God in our Bibles. I'm not ashamed of that message because it carries God's power. You're literally carrying dynamite in your mouth when you carry the gospel. This is a powerful message, and it brings salvation." So we need to realize that there's so much good we can do. Replace evil speaking with praise to God. People do you wrong, don't curse them, bless them, speak well of them. Don't slander, don't gossip, don't let fire out of your mouth. Let the pure fountain come out. They're made in the image of God. And so the tongue is a powerful thing. It can be used for great good and great evil. You want to know the sweetest thing that ever came out of your mouth? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. You know, sometimes in the morning, I'll sit there and contemplate, like, God, you don't need me to say anything. But I do this somewhat often. I'll just say, God, I know this world hates you, and they just want to, they're raging against you, as Psalms 2 says, but I just want you to know, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. I believe you're coming back. And I begin to claim everything that Jesus said about himself and just to praise him in what he said about himself. Let me be a voice in Xenia this morning that is lifting up high praise to God. Let me eulogia God. Let me praise him on high. And I think, wouldn't it be great for all of us to rise up tomorrow morning and just praise God? Just to say, Jesus is Lord. And you know what? One of the greatest things you can do when you close in prayer is to do the same thing that Paul did. When Paul came to faith in Christ, the first thing he said was this: what wilt thou have me to do, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do today, Lord? And just sit in silence before God and say, God, is there anything that you want me to do today? What would you have me to do, Lord? Is there anything that I need to forgive? Is there anything that anybody that needs encouragement? Is there anybody I could send a call or a text? Is there anybody that I could, what would you have me to do today, Lord? And just let your mouth, that powerful tool that Satan has used in our lives to destroy so much, where God could now use that, like in Acts chapter 2, fire from heaven. Amen. Don't let the fire of hell turn your mouth on. Let the fire from heaven. And God can do some great things. Let's all stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If God's spoken to your heart, you're welcome to come at this time. The altar's open. But if you stood before God and he said, why should I let you into heaven? If you're not sure what you would say, we got men and women down in the front tonight that could talk with you, pray with you, share with you the scriptures. You could confess Jesus is Lord. They'll show you from the Word of God what the Bible says about how to be saved. Maybe there's somebody that you need to come and pray for that's lost, that needs to be saved, that you might go to them and share the good news of the gospel. Whatever your need is, I challenge and encourage you to examine your mouth, examine what's coming in your heart, examine how you're using your mouth to glorify God, to encourage and bless His name, to bless other people, and to guard it from cursing anyone. Father, I thank you for this night. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the light that it gives. Lord, the weight of our failing is upon us when we think about our tongues. I pray that we would surrender our mouth to you, and in doing so, we would be surrendering our heart, because what our heart becomes is what our mouth will declare. And so cleanse us inwardly that we may be clean outwardly. And as Grandma used to say, if we don't have something good to say, then don't say anything at all. What wisdom there is there. I pray that you would help us to be a church that rightly declares your truth. And in a culture and a world that hates the truth of God, that we would not be afraid to stand upon the truth and do it in love. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, if God's spoken to your heart, if you need to be saved or make a spiritual decision, would you come tonight as we sing? Come tonight, this verse is for you.
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt. trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated, and if you have a prayer request, if you could just raise up that green prayer card, and our men will come around and get that from you. This Sunday, we're continuing in our life group study, Signs of Spiritual Maturity. Really encourage you to get plugged into our life groups. Tonight, if you're in our biblical counseling class, we're actually going to have that back in the teen room, so it'll be in the back of the building here, so it's not in room 200. We'll have that back here in the teen room, so... Anybody else? Prayer card, just hold those up if you have a green prayer card, and we'll get those. All right. Let me share some of these prayer requests and lift them up to the Lord. Pray for Buddy and Jeannie Moore. Both are sick with COVID, so I want to lift up Buddy and Jeannie Moore. Pray for Colin Parrott in Kettering Hospital, COVID and ICU on ventilator. Crystal Toner's 22-year-old son. So I want to lift up Colin Parrott. Brenda Chamberlain, cataract surgery tomorrow, risk of complication due to her Lyme disease. So I want to lift up Brenda Chamberlain, having that cataract surgery tomorrow. Pray for Barbara Jean for recent surgery, healing up from that, Barbara Jean. Pray for Eric Woodworth, vehicle purchase. Pray for God's blessing there. And also Hidalgo family to learn the Scottish culture and I want to lift them up in prayer. Pray for Jade Salyers, 8.5 months pregnant with COVID. She's had to use meds to weaken immune system to be able to carry to her term, so she's really struggling to get well. So I want to lift up Jade Salyers in prayer. She's 8.5 months pregnant. Pray for Sarah and Kobe Ray for their marriage, that God's hand will allow them to get closer. Jonah Moen, unspoken. And then Steve and Pam Moen's oldest grandson. Pray for Donna Weldon on a vent at Sycamore. She's a believer and trusting God to bring healing there. And so pray for Donna for her health. And then also pray for Raven as COVID. Want to lift up Raven tonight in the Lord to the Lord. So we're going to break up in groups. Also tonight, one thing we're going to start doing every Wednesday is we have up on the screen just a couple questions, 2 to 3 questions each Wednesday. So when you break up in groups, those are also a couple questions you can discuss in those groups. And so when you get in your groups, just look up here and maybe pick one or two or all three of those if you like and think about maybe a couple thoughts you could have in reflection and encouraging each other off of those. The goal of every sermon is that we would take those truths, encourage other people, but that we would do something with that message. Amen. And so let's all stand and encourage you to get in groups of 3, 4, 5, or 6 and make sure you team up with somebody. Pray, share some prayer requests, look over some of those thoughts tonight. And then when you're done praying, you're dismissed. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.